because I wouldn't be able to see it anyways. It's really hard to keep your eyes closed for a while, isn't it? And even imagine. Imagine all the things that you would not be a part of that you're a part of now. All the sports that you play, all the activities that you do that require sight. Imagine being blind from the time you were born, and you would never, ever have seen the light of day, the colors. And you have been in this complete darkness your entire life. But then imagine for the moment some of the things that you perhaps would have gained as a result of not being able to see with your eyes. Man, I would probably be a much better listener. My wife would say amen to that. Because I'd have to use my ears and my other senses, because they would become my sight so to speak. Imagine other people's perspective of me if all that they ever saw of me was this person who was blind. Imagine trying to put your offering in the offering plate. It'd be a little more difficult. Now think about how we perceive people sometimes if they perhaps were blind all of their lives. How would we perceive them? How would we respond? How would we react towards them? Well, today's passage of Scripture is about not just one blind person, but one guy who was blind from birth and other people who are also blind. They could see, but they were also blind. This passage of Scripture in John has taught me so much about perspective. And when I stop and think about, man, if I was blind from birth, my perspective of the world around me would be so different. And yet this passage spoke to me about times, even though I can see with my eyes, times where I am also blind. Blind to things that I should have my eyes open to, where my perspective is a little messed up and askew. And that I need to correct my perspective and bring it in line to the truth. See, this passage is a lot about perspective. And perspective is really your idea, your beliefs, your opinions. And if we pick the subject today and I say, hey, what's your perspective about, well, let's say the Toronto Blue Jays, for example. And there would be a wide variety of opinions and ideas about the Toronto Blue Jays. Because we all have a different perspective. But we're going to look a little deeper into perspective today. And it's really interesting in this passage of Scripture because Jesus is going to do something. And what he does is going to expose everybody's perspective as a result of what he does in this passage of Scripture. And it's really interesting when you think about it that Jesus does one thing and everybody's perspective is exposed. Well, I don't like that. I don't like when my perspective is exposed. Of course, I shouldn't mind because I'm always right. My wife didn't say amen to that one. Neither did my son. They're here to keep me honest. But it's really interesting. We're going to look today at how everybody's perspective is exposed, and then we're going to zero in on one particular perspective, and we're going to talk about that a little bit. And speaking of eyes, as you get older, these things called eyes tend to change a little bit, and you need to help them. And so I need some reading glasses. John chapter 9, please follow along. And I sent a little thing for the bulletin for people to fill out. And if you are under the age of 15, I would suggest that if you fill this out today, you elbow your parent later and say, hey, Mom, I got this all filled out. I think we should go to blank for lunch today. So if you are under the age of 16, 15, or whatever, then you can you elbow your parent and say, hey, you know, Pastor Randy said, you know, if I get this filled out, you got to take me for lunch today. And moms and dads will bring it to me and say, you take them for lunch today. John chapter 9. Let's just let this come alive to us this morning. But let's pray first. Father, thank you for your word. I pray that your word will just come alive to us today. Lord, that you will speak to us individually. You know the needs of our heart and our lives. Lord, you know where our minds need to change, where our perspectives need to change. So, Lord, I pray that in this passage of Scripture today, you will speak to each one of us individually. Lord, you know those who are here today who just need your comfort, your reassurance, some encouragement. And I thank you that in this passage of Scripture, we're going to find hope. We're going to find encouragement. We're going to find in comfort. So, Lord, I pray that you would speak to us right where we're at today from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. John chapter 9, verse 1. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man who had been blind from birth. Rabbi, his disciples asked him, why was this man born blind? Was it because of his own sins or his parents' sins? It was not because of his sins or his parents' sins, Jesus answered. This happened so the power of God could be seen in him. We must quickly carry out the tasks assigned us by the one who sent us. The night is coming, and then no one can work. But while I'm here in the world, I am the light of the world. Then he spit on the ground, made mud with saliva, and spread the mud over the man's eyes. He told him, go wash yourself in the pool of Siloam. Siloam means sent. So the man went and washed and came back seeing. His neighbors and others who knew him as a blind beggar, so we get a little more information about this guy. He wasn't just a blind man, but he was a blind beggar. And they asked each other, isn't this the man who used to sit and beg? Some said he was, and others said, no, he just looks like him. But the beggar kept saying, yes, I am the same one. They asked, who healed you? What happened? He told them, the man they called Jesus made mud and spread it over my eyes and told me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash yourself. So I went and washed, and now I can see. Where is he now? They asked. I don't know, he replied. Then they took the man who had been blind to the Pharisees. Because it was on the Sabbath that Jesus had made the mud and healed him. The Pharisees asked the man all about it, so he told them, he put mud over my eyes, and when I washed it away, I could see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man Jesus is not from God, for he is working on the Sabbath. Others said, but how could an ordinary sinner do such miraculous signs? So there was a deep division of opinion among them. Then the Pharisees again questioned the man who had been blind and demanded, what is your opinion about this man who healed you? What's your perspective is really what he's saying. The man replied, I think he must be a prophet. The Jewish leaders still refused to believe the man had been blind and could now see. So they called in his parents. They asked him, is this your son? Was he born blind? If so, how can he now see? His parents replied, we know this is our son and that he was born blind, but we don't know how he can see or who healed him. Ask him. He is old enough to speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders who had announced that anyone saying Jesus was the Messiah would be expelled from the synagogue. That's why they said, he's old enough. Ask him. So for the second time, they called in the man who had been blind and told him, God should get the glory for this because we know this man, Jesus, is a sinner. I don't know whether he's a sinner, the man replied, but I know this. I was blind and now I can see. But what did he do, they asked. How did he heal you? Look, the man exclaimed, I told you once. Didn't you listen? Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? Then they cursed him and said, you are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know God spoke to Moses, but we don't even know where this man comes from. Why? That's very strange, the man replied. He healed my eyes, and yet you don't know where he comes from. We know that God doesn't listen to sinners, but he is ready to hear those who worship him and do his will. Ever since the world began, no one has been able to open the eyes of someone born blind. But if this man were not from God, he couldn't have done it. You were born a total sinner, they answered. Are you trying to teach us? And they threw him out of the synagogue. Wow. When I look at this passage of scripture, I go, there's a lot of messed up people in this situation. Religious leaders that should have known better, people that should have been so excited about this man who had been healed, and yet there was a lot of confusion, a lot of question, a lot of doubt. And they end up cursing the guy who was healed from being born blind because he wouldn't declare that Jesus was a sinner just like them. He didn't fall in line with their religious beliefs and disregard Jesus for who he was. So there's a lot of messed up things in here. Really perspectives that Jesus exposes, and then he gives us some clues in how to correct those perspectives. The first perspective we see is the perspective of the disciples. And we see this in their question that they asked Jesus. They asked him the question, hey Jesus, was this man born blind because of his sins or his parents' sin? So their perspective was, he is blind because of somebody's sin. That was their perspective. And we're going to look at that perspective a little later and look at the dangers of that perspective and how hurtful it can be. So we see the disciples' perspective, that this man was blind because of sin. Then we have the neighbor's perspective in verses 8 to 12. In their perspective, there's a lot of confusion amongst the neighbor's perspective. Some of them thought he was just a lookalike. It's not really him, it's just someone that looks like him. Must be his twin. Just someone that looks like him. So they were kind of bantering that back and forth. Well, how could it really be him? We've never seen anybody healed who has been born blind before. And they couldn't believe it. They didn't want to accept it. They couldn't fathom this. And yet the guy could now see. So they write it off as, well, it's just his twin. He's just a lookalike. And then we see the Pharisees' perspective in verses 13 to 18. Well, the Pharisees, they were just literally stuck in the mud. They said, well, because Jesus was mixing mud on the Sabbath and healing this guy on the Sabbath, because he's mixing mud on the Sabbath, well, he could not be from God. He's a sinner because he's working on the Sabbath. And if you do anything like that on the Sabbath, well, you cannot be from God at all because, well, you're working on the Sabbath. You're breaking the religious laws. And so they're just stuck in the mud. Perhaps they were stuck in the mud in this situation, but they also had a history with Jesus and about Jesus. Jesus had done some other healing on the Sabbath, and so they had totally discredited him even before this miracle. And they were just literally stuck in the mud. They weren't about to change their perspective at all. And then we have the blind man's perspective initially. When they asked him, well, who do you think? Give glory to God. And he's giving glory to God already. Yeah, I was blind and now I can see. And this man, Jesus, is the one who put mud in my eyes. And when I washed, I could see. He was all excited because he could see. And initially, his answer to the Pharisees, well, I think he's a prophet. And if we can look at the world's perspective of Jesus today, there are many who would say, well, this man, Jesus, is a prophet. He's like Muhammad. He's like some of the other prophets. That's all he is. He's just a good man. And that's the perspective of many people in the world today. And then we have the parents' perspective. The parents were really interesting in this passage of Scripture because they said, we know this is our son. We were there when we came into this world, and we were there. We went through the agony of realizing for the first time that, hey, our son can't see. He's blind. I can't imagine the feelings that those parents were experiencing all through their lives. The caring for this little baby who can't see, this toddler who's now crawling on the floor and constantly bumping his head on things because he can't see anything. And then becoming a teenager and hanging around, maybe hanging around with other kids at times, and he's learning to walk, and of course now he probably injuring himself even more because he can't see. And then he goes perhaps through the bar mitzvah. I wonder what that all looked like, becoming a man, the age of 12, going through the religious ceremonies. But he can't see. And then he becomes a man and it's time to have a career, but he can't have a career because he can't see. And so perhaps he's placed strategically in the town, maybe close to their home. And he sits there day and night, or every day he's put there, to hold out a cup, to hold out his hand. And he's a beggar. That's his career. Can't imagine the agony, the struggles, the turmoil. Can't imagine that mother and that father. Hey, what does your son do for a living? I'm so proud. I can say, yeah, my son's a journeyman. My daughter's a social worker. My son plays basketball. And these parents, my son's a beggar. He can't see. That's his only way to gain an income enough to contribute. So the parents' perspective is they knew it was their son. Yes, this is our son. We know he was born blind. They stick to the facts. But they're also part of a community. Part of a community that goes to the synagogue on a regular basis. They stick to the facts and they go, we know this is our son. But they were afraid. They were afraid to declare that Jesus was the Messiah, the one who healed him, the Savior that they came to experience in their son's life. They were afraid because they didn't want to be excommunicated from their community, from where they got all the support that they needed to go get through every day, every week. They stuck to the facts. Yes, we know this is our son, but we're not sure how this all happened. Ask him. He's of age. They didn't want to be excommunicated from their community, and I can understand why. So they stick to the facts, but they were afraid. And then we have, finally, the Pharisees' perspective of the blind man. The Pharisees' perspective of the blind man was, you're a total sinner because you're giving credit to this man Jesus. You're not adhering to our perspective, to our belief that this Jesus is just another sinner because he works on the Sabbath. And so the Pharisee wouldn't agree with them. And he asks them some pointed questions. He says, why? You don't know where this man comes from? He just healed me. I've been blind from birth. That has never happened before. Nobody has ever done that before. I can now see your blue eyes. Or whatever color eyes there were. But because he wouldn't fall in line with their perspective, they go, you're nothing but a total sinner. You've been a sinner from birth. And they curse him. And they kick him out of the synagogue, out of their community, because he was believing and giving credit to this man Jesus. So we see some perspectives here that are pretty messed up. We see some pretty hurting people here. But I want to zero in on this perspective of the disciples just for a moment. The disciples ask a really kind of, I think, a really weird question. Weird for me, but for them, it was all part of their belief system. Their question reveals their belief, their perspective. Is this man blind because of his sins or his parents? Why didn't they ask a different question? Why was the conversation, why did it go like this? Why wasn't the conversation something like, hey, Jesus, it's really too bad that this guy's been blind all his life. We don't hear any compassion as we read this, their question. I don't see any compassion in that at all. Why didn't they say something like, man, it must have been really tough for his parents? None of that. And we don't, I mean, John didn't write every single word, perhaps, but we don't see that in their question at all. And I think it demonstrates their perspective that if there is a problem in someone's life, it's because of somebody's sin, either theirs or their parents. And as I was thinking about this, as I read this, and I talked to my kids about this, and I said, well, is it true that someone could be born blind or experience physical or mental challenge as a result of their sin or someone else's? Is that true? Well, the facts are, yes, it possibly could be true. Well, then, does that make the disciples' question valid? Well, it could be true if there was some drug or alcohol abuse in pregnancy that could possibly create physical or mental challenge in someone's life. Or if there was an assault where the mother was hurt or injured, that's a sin. Could that cause physical or mental challenges in the child that's being born? Yes. So then I come to this question, well, is this a valid question? And it's really interesting what Jesus does. But before we get to what Jesus says, I remember visiting a lady in the hospital one time, and she was told that she had lost a baby because there must be some sin in her life. She was devastated that people would say that to her. She was absolutely devastated. She had quit going to church for years after that. She was so hurt. So a perspective here that is very damaging, very hurtful. But it is possible that birth defects can happen because of someone's sin. But let's look at how Jesus answered. Should we ever say that to somebody else? And my thought in this passage of Scripture was, they didn't need to say that. They didn't need to ask that question because they didn't know the facts. And this made me realize the importance of looking for the facts or considering the facts in every situation and not just throwing out really quick judgmental or blanket statements. See, this became kind of a blanket belief in their minds. They weren't considering the facts. It kind of just became a blanket judgmental statement. Perhaps every time they came across this situation, they went back to it must be somebody's sin. But Jesus' perspective here is really interesting. And I think we can gain a lot from looking at how Jesus responds to all of this. After being asked whose sin was it that caused his blindness, him or his parents, Jesus turns to them in verse 3 and he says, neither. It's not because of his sin or his parents. Jesus pointed to the facts. It wasn't because of anybody's specific sin in this situation. Because Jesus knew he was blind because we live in a world that rejected God. Jesus' perspective was that our fallen world brought upon itself a curse of sickness and disease, and that's why he came. It's interesting, the Pharisees in their cold-heartedness made one true statement in verse 34 when they said, "You were born a total sinner." Well, the fact is, we all are. We're all born in sin. We're all born separated from God, in need of a Savior. Jesus pointed to the facts. It wasn't anyone's sin that caused his blindness. It was the fact that he was born into a broken world, a world that brought upon itself a curse because of their sin. So Jesus points to the facts. He says, neither. And then it's really interesting in verse 3 also, he points to the sovereignty of God. And this is where this really spoke to me. In verse 3, he said, "This happened so the power of God could be seen in him." Well, someone might ask, did God cause him to be born blind then so that he could just heal him and get all the glory? Well, if we look at a biblical worldview, if we look at the whole picture, the answer to that would be no. God didn't just cause him to be born blind so that he could heal him and get the glory. That's kind of morbid, really. But in the sovereignty of God, if we consider the sovereignty of God, the sovereignty of God is just a big word for saying God knew all along. God knew before he was born that this guy, there was going to be a guy, and he was going to be born blind. And God in his sovereignty, in his foreknowledge, says, "I'm going to pick him for a special purpose." As I just stop and ponder that for a moment, our God who knows all things, our God who understands and is sovereign, says, "I'm going to pick this guy who was born blind." Even before he was born, God knew him. God knew all about him. He knew his name. He knew his circumstances. He knew what he was going to be. He knew that he was going to be a beggar. God knew all that in his sovereignty. And yet, he points down to earth and he says, "I'm going to pick him. I'm going to pick that guy that nobody else would pick. I'm going to pick him. And I'm going to reveal my glory through that man." So we see that Jesus pointed to the facts. He recognizes the sovereignty of God. He points to the sovereignty of God. And then Jesus demonstrates the heart of God in this story. Jesus loved a man that was viewed as damaged, sinful, and really no other purpose other than to hold out his hand or a cup every day as his vocation. Jesus chose a man that no one else could pick. And we see the heart of God in this story. Such a beautiful heart in this situation. The disciples were asking, "Who sinned?" There was no compassion there. The Pharisees were all stuck in the mud and their religious rules. And Jesus' big concern was, "I love that man. I love that man right where he is, right what he's doing. I love that man. And I'm going to heal that man and I'm going to give him sight." So we see that one blind man is healed here. But there are other blind people in this passage that were not healed. And we see that as we wrap this up today, we see changing a perspective. And the first person's perspective that was changed was the blind man. Let's finish the story from verse 34, 35 on. So we see that the blind man is healed. He goes and washes. Jesus disappears. He's off the scene for a while. In verse 35, they reconnect. When Jesus heard what happened, he found the man and asked. So what happened was this conflict with the Pharisees. And this whole mess that went on. So he finds the man again and he asks, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" The man answered, "Who is he, sir? I want to believe in him." Other translations would say, "Son of God." "You have seen him," Jesus said, "and he is speaking to you." "Yes, Lord, I believe," the man said, and he worshiped Jesus. Remember the Pharisees said in their statement, "Give glory to God"? Well, here the guy says, "I want to believe in him." And Jesus says, "You now have seen him. Your eyes have been opened to see the Son of God." And the man says, "Yes, Lord, I believe." And he worshiped Jesus. Then Jesus told him, "I entered this world to render judgment, to give sight to the blind and show those who think that they see that they are blind." So Jesus is speaking to some other blind people here as well. Not just this guy. Really quite an object lesson. Some Pharisees who were standing nearby heard him and asked, "Are you saying we're blind?" They clued in pretty quick that Jesus was pointing the finger at them all of a sudden. Jesus says to them, "If you were blind, you wouldn't be guilty. But you remain guilty because you claim you can see." Just because you claim you can see. So we see that after an encounter with the sovereignty of God and the love of God, the blind man's perspective changes from prophet to Son of God. He's not just a prophet. He is God in the flesh who's come. He's the one that's healed me. It all makes sense now. There's never been a man who's ever been able to heal someone who's been blind from birth. It all makes sense now. You can do it, Jesus, because you're not just a man. You're the Son of God. You are God in the flesh. I believe. I worship you, Jesus. Well, let's think about changing our perspectives. Let's think about those around us, perhaps, that need to change their perspectives. The Pharisees were not about to do that. They were stuck in their perspective. And, you know, it really challenged my praying sometimes. You know, there are times before a service I'll pray, "God, stretch forth your hand and heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders by the name of Jesus so people will come to know you." But here's a story where Jesus heals a blind man and the perspective of the Pharisees was not about to change. Even this healing didn't change their perspective. So it's taught me something about how I pray. And I start my prayers now more often than I ever have before with the words, "God, you are sovereign. You know. So Lord, in your foreknowledge, in your sovereignty, would you work by your powerful hand to help people's perspective change from whatever it might be to the understanding belief that Jesus is the Son of God, the Savior of the world." And in his sovereignty, he knows. He knows those whose perspective will change with a miracle. He knows those who won't. And so God in his sovereignty responds accordingly. So what do we do with those who won't change their perspective? Well, I think we have to understand that we can't change anybody's perspective. It's not our job to change anybody's perspective. Our job is to present the sovereign God, show the love of God, and point to the truth. And that's why our biblical worldview needs to be solid. That we need to understand what God's perspective is according to his word and then stand upon that. Even if it sometimes means risking a relationship, we need to stand somewhere and stand firm. What about our perspectives? If we need to change our perspective, how do we do it? Well, I think the same pattern is applies. Start with the sovereignty of God, that He's in control, that He has a plan, that I want to submit and surrender my life to His plan and His control. Then look at the heart of God. Even though we were all born in sin, God loves you. God loves you. He loves me. So look at the heart of God and realize that, Lord, Father, You love me. And then look to the facts. Look at the facts. Look beyond your feelings. Look past your religious rules and exercises. Struggle to find the facts. Find the truth. So, Lord, I want to know the truth. And I want my perspective to come in line with the truth. And Your word will confirm what the truth is. Psalm 73 is a really interesting passage of Scripture. And this Psalm 73 is about David's struggle with those who are prospering, who are wicked, who don't know the Lord, who don't care. And David's really struggling with this whole perspective thing, because he sees people who don't know the Lord, who live like the devil, and they're prospering. And he sees those who are trying to do what's right, and there's nothing but a struggle. Anybody ever feel like that sometimes? Well, his perspective is really interesting, and his struggle is so real. I appreciate that in Psalm 73. But in verses 16 and 17, he kind of brings his perspective in line. He says, when I thought how to understand all this, and he's thinking about his struggle and his perspective, it seemed to me such a weary task. He's trying to gain understanding. And then verse 17 says, I had this struggle. It was a wearisome task until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I discerned. He gained discernment by first going to the sanctuary of God, going to a place where he could connect with God. And that's where we need to start as well. If our perspective is out of line, if we're struggling with something and we're seeking for the truth, make sure that you're in a place where you're seeking the truth in the presence of God as well. Where you're saying, God, You are sovereign. I want to submit to Your sovereign plan and Your sovereign will. And Lord, I want to understand Your heart. And I want to display Your heart to those people around me. Not like the disciples who were lacking compassion at that part and that time in their lives, but looking at people through the heart of God, through the heart of Jesus, who picked a guy that nobody else would pick, who cared for someone and everybody else around was criticizing. So let me ask you this morning, what's your perspective, first of all, about Jesus? Is he just a prophet? Is he just this good guy? Is he just someone that was written about in this historical book? Or is he your Savior? Is he Son of God to you? Is he your Lord? What's your perspective this morning? My prayer is that everybody in this room will say, Jesus, You're my Savior. You are Son of God. God in the flesh. God who loves me. I accept You. I love You. I need You. Father, this morning, thank You so much for Your word. Lord, I've learned so much from this passage of Scripture lately. Thank You for giving me something to pass on to my brothers and sisters in Christ in this church today. You know where we're all at, Lord. Lord, You know my opinions and beliefs and values in so many different areas. In all of them, You know. I pray that they will line up with Your truth. Lord, that You will help me in areas of my life where I want to be in control. to surrender to your control. And Lord, I pray for the people that I encounter every day, that you would help me to demonstrate your heart. And Lord, what you demonstrated in this passage of Scripture from the heart of God to a broken man, broken family, was so beautiful. Help me, Lord, to demonstrate your heart to those around me as well. Thank you for this time together today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for having us. And I just want to say that after the service today, maybe you're here, you just need to talk to someone, or you need to, you'd like prayer. Maybe you'd like someone to pray with you. I'm happy to, and I'm sure there's numbers of people here who would be so happy just to take that time just to pray with you, just to encourage you. So please, don't leave this building today if you are in that place. Don't be afraid to ask, hey, I've been really going through a struggle this last week. Could you pray for me? And let's do that before we leave today. Thank you.
Please stand with us once more. And as Randy was saying, that there's a lot of different perspectives on the person of Jesus. And we know him to be the Son of God, the Christ, and God himself. And yet, as the blind man experienced, a lot of people want you to conform to their perspectives. They want you to join what the world believes, and they'll condemn you if you don't. But as we go throughout our lives, let us stand up for what we know is true. Let us stand up for Jesus.
Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead. Till every foe is vanquished, and Christ is Lord indeed. Stand up for Jesus, the trumpet calls obey. Forth to the mighty conflict in this his glorious day. Ye that are brave now serve him against unnumbered foe. Let courage rise with danger and strength to strength oppose. Stand up for Jesus, the strife will not be long. This day the noise of battle, the next the victor's song. To him that overcometh, a crown of life shall be. With him, King of glory, shall reign eternally.
Go in peace this week.